Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this morning, and you're so good, Lord. Thank you that you love us, and you have a plan, and that plan is to one day every one of us, those who love you, Father, those who know you, who have accepted you, Father, will be with you. Lord, you said that you would take care of us, and that's a promise, and you never break a promise. You said you will provide everything we need in the times that we live in and what we're going through, that you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so as we look to your word and continue to look to Luke chapter 21 and pick up where we left off, and that you would somehow put it all together. And Lord, I'm not doing a five-week series or a three-week series. I'm just going to share line upon line, precept upon precept, and hopefully what I share will cause everybody to seek further the truth and seek further the times that we're in and prophecy, and they will know that your word is yes and amen. And so bless us, and we do give you glory and honor and praises, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. So again, 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Luke chapter 21. We were talking about Jesus when the disciples came. Hey, Jesus, look at the temple. Isn't it magnificent? And he was taking their focus off the creation, and he was putting it on the, he made them look to the times that are coming. And he said, hey, one day that's going to all be destroyed. And they were like, what? They couldn't believe that. He says, it's going to be all destroyed. And when that day happens, he says, you're going to know, because nation will be rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilence. There's going to be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And these things are going to take place. But he tells us that, these are only the birth pains. The end is not yet here yet. Well, I'm going to ask you this. Since we talked about last week these signs, how many of you had noticed that they have intensified since 2 weeks ago, right? They got even more earthquakes. We had a few earthquakes here in San Diego, a couple four-pointers. Look what's going on with Ukraine. The rumors of war, the intensity in the China Sea over there by China and the Philippines, it's getting more intense. Coast Guards are actually going up against one another. And even the U.S. with Iraq and in other countries over there, which this is where it all supposed to take place, over there by Israel. Look what's going on with Israel, getting more intense. And as you look, you're going to see it's getting more. And so we were looking at that last week, and we were talking about it. I did want to share. Look at verse 14, because when Jesus said this, he said, therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand what you will answer. And he was talking about when they come and you're arrested and when you stand before your accusers and those who arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say. He says, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. He says, that's the bad news, okay? The bad news is you will be arrested. Okay, now, we may be arrested. He's talking about the days before Jesus returns, the second coming. It will happen. Is it happening today? Yes, it is. Is it happening in our country? Yes, it is. More so in third world countries, it's happening a lot. That's the bad news. The good news is, look at verse 13. He said, it will all turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. When it does happen, we don't need to prepare. We don't need to defend ourselves. We just need to get ready to give an answer. Be ready to share your faith, just like Peter said, where he said, just trust yourself to Christ your Lord. And if anybody asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell them and do it in a gentle and respectful way. Are you ready to give an answer if that time comes? Will you be ready to? Because it's going to be the Lord who's going to fill us, our hearts and our mouths, so we don't need to prepare. But again, I'm going to warn you, and I warned you 2 weeks ago, Jesus also did not promise at the time of being persecuted that you're going to be free every time. You will go through it. You will. We will all go through it. So we're going to pick up now, and we were talking about, from there, we were talking about the Antichrist. And how Peter, Paul actually told us that the Antichrist, he's going to come after the rapture, and he's going to bring a persecution that the world has never seen. And praise God, we won't see it because we'll be in heaven. We'll see it from heaven, but we won't be here to live through it. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read this again. Paul said, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God's going to bring this strong affluence, meaning that he's going to allow it to happen. Those who are on this earth, he will allow them to believe in the lies that the Antichrist, this false Messiah, is going to do. And the reason why God does is because he gives us all a free will to choose. Was anybody here forced to accept Jesus Christ in their life? Anybody? We're all of us here were given that choice. And I always say, every time you step into church, if you don't know the Lord, when you come into church, you're going to have to make the biggest decision of your life that you have ever done before, because you're going to have to decide to be for him or to be against him. But Pastor, I'm kind of in the middle. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And if you don't choose me, then you already made your choice, because you're either hot or you're cold, but you can't be lukewarm. You cannot be in the middle. He gives us a free choice. But he knows who will get saved and who will not. We know, and that's why we need to be out there and we need to share our faith. Now, remember, 2 weeks ago, I shared how the AAA man received Christ. Remember I shared that? Remember how I said about the guys that tagged the church? And what did I ask for? I asked for prayer. I said, pray for me that I would have an opportunity to talk to them and maybe lead them to Christ. Last week, they came to the church, two of them, and they came to apologize and said they were sorry, that they didn't know that this was a church, and there's a code. We don't tag on churches or homes. I said, thank you, but you shouldn't tag at all. I said, you think that because we're a church that you're not supposed to tag? I said, the reason why you're here is because you got caught. You got caught. If you didn't get caught, you probably wouldn't be here. But you got caught, and he says, also, I want to thank you for not pressing charges. And I told him, you know, I've been there. I'm an ex-gang member. I know what it's like. I did it too. I don't want to add to your criminal life or for you to have feet that are swift to do evil. I want to help you. I told him, I want to help you. I'm here for you. But I do want you to be responsible. So I told them, I want you to go down there and I want you to clean the tagging that you did. And then after that, I know you stole from the art store. I want you to go to the art store. I want you to apologize. And I want you to pay for the cans of spray paint that you stole. I want you to pay for them. And they told me, we just came from there right now. So we already did that. And now we're here to apologize. So I took them down, and I had them go there, and I had them scrub it and everything. And then afterwards, I was able to share, and I said, okay, thank you, guys, but I want you to know that I'm here for you. If you want to, you need someone to talk to, come over here and talk to me. I'll be glad to talk to you. And also, I want you to pray about maybe me discipling you and sharing helping you to know your faith in God and to know Jesus. And I told them that As a pastor, it's my responsibility to challenge you. So I want to challenge you. So long story short is that they prayed here in the parking lot and they gave their lives to the Lord. So your prayers, right? Your prayers were answered. Isn't that what I asked for prayer for? I said, Lord, I don't know if I'll ever meet these guys, but I pray that they'll come. I can talk to them and they'll accept Jesus. They accept. The guy that tagged here, he prayed accepting the Lord. He told the other guy who had the black hoodie, he told me, this guy's not, responsible. He's innocent because he didn't do any of it. I said, wrong. He's guilty by association. He was with you. He watched. Therefore, he's guilty. We had him spray over here on this. The third guy, the guy that did this tagging over here, we don't know what happened to him. He didn't come. He wasn't with him. They don't know if he got picked up or not. But your prayers were answered. And this man, this Antichrist, he's going to come and he's going to deceive many who will follow after him in the tribulation period. And in the Apostle John, he also, and I want to share a few scriptures about the Antichrist. He also confirms about the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 13, John tells us that he's going to perform great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Remember those in the Old Testament, how God did these supernatural works, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, the fire by night and the cloud by day, the water from the rock, the 10 plagues. Well, this man's going to do some imitation signs during the great tribulation period, during the period time of when the rapture of the church comes, the church is gone. He's going to perform these great signs and he's going to deceive a lot of people. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says, here's where it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all those whose names are not written in the book of life, you want your name written in the book of life, then you got to have Jesus in your heart. You got to ask him to come into your heart. You got to ask him, you got to pray and say, Lord, let me serve you and take my life. Surrender your life over to the Lord. Once you do that, then the word of God tells us your name is written in the book of life. But those in the great the tribulation period, those who aren't, their names are not written in the book of life, they're going to be deceived. They're going to worship him. But also the Antichrist, he's going to make war with the tribulation saints, okay? Now you got to remember, the great tribulation, the tribulation is 7 years, okay? Right before the 7 years, Jesus is going to come back. And the rapture of the church is going to take place, okay? So Jesus has come, the church is lifted up. After the church, God's people is taken off this earth, then the Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to rule and reign here on the earth for 7 years. Now, there's going to be many people who thought they were Christians or who thought they were saved, we're going to have to go through this 7-year period. And the Bible says that, listen to what John says in Revelation chapter 13. He says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. So listen, he who leads into captivity should go into captivity. And he who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, those people who belong to God during the tribulation period are going to have to totally trust in the Lord. They're going to have to totally put their faith in the Lord and resist the evil that will be happening at that time. Resist the Antichrist and try to survive during this period. And he goes on and he says, and he who exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, which he's talking about the false prophet. Now there's going to be a religious leader during that time who will be over all the religions, over all the faith, and he's going to have everybody cause everybody to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. But just in these two verses here in verse 11 and 12, we see this unholy trinity. Now, we have a holy trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, the devil, he has an unholy trinity. There's the dragon, talked about in verse 11, which is Satan. Verse 12 and 11, it also talks about in 12, the false prophet, okay, the unholy prophet, and then the Antichrist, the unholy Antichrist, God, the devil's son. So you got this unholy trinity that's going to be working together to deceive many people. But he goes on, says in 13, he says, and he will perform great signs so that he'll even make fire come down from heaven on the earth by these signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and live. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast, but be killed. Now listen to this. John said, he who has an ear, listen to what verse 16 says. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. Did you hear that? During the 7-year tribulation, during the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to have a mark, and he's going to make everybody within that time period to receive that mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he says that you're not going to be able to sell or buy except them who have the mark in the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him who understand calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is, you guys heard it, 666. So during this time, we're not going to go through this, because like I said, the Christians, we're going to be with the Lord, but those who have to go through this period of time are going to have this mark, Satan's mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And then in Revelation chapter 20, John says, and I saw the throne and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or the image and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Those Christians who go through the Great Tribulation period, you will have to pay the price of death for the Lord. If you don't take the mark of the beast, they are going to execute you by beheading you. If you don't take the mark during that period, you won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell, you won't be able to do anything unless you have that mark on your right hand or on your forehead. If you don't have it, then they're gonna make you worship him. They're gonna make you make allegiance to him. If you don't, then they're gonna cut your head off. That's what he's saying here. I'm gonna show you a video. Okay, this video I actually showed to the church back in 2004. The reason why I want you to see this video, because this was taking place. It was in April 4th, 2004. And you're going to see where we are now compared to the technology back there in 2004. So I'm going to play this, and I want you to watch this. Back in 2004, technology has gone further. I just read an article, the billionaire Elon Musk, he announced it on January 30th of this year, that his company, Neuralink, has implanted its brain-computer interface into a human for the first time. The recipient was recovering well. Musk wrote on his social media, formerly Twitter, on Monday evening, adding the initial results showed promising spike detections reference to brain cells' electrical activity. So it's already been in use. They use it on animals. How many of you have pets? How many of you have your pets chipped? I do. So in case your dog or your cat gets loose, if they find it, they can scan the chip, and all your information will be on that chip. In Europe, they use your eye, your retina eye, to go down, and you can use the ATM and do banking outside just by the retina of your eye, by looking into the machine. So technology is advancing. The Hill News, now listen to this. Today, more than 50,000 people have elected to have a subneural chip surgically inserted between the thumb and the index finger, serving as their new swipe key or credit card. In Germany, for example, more than 2,000 Germans have opted to receive this implant. One man has even used it to store a link to his last will and testament. In 2021, British and Polish firms known as Wallamore announced that it had become the first company to sell implantable payment microchips to everyday customers. While the first microchip was implanted into a human way back in 1998, says the BBC News, so long ago it might as well be the dark ages in the world of computing. It is only recent that the technology has become commercially available. People are volunteering, having these chips, technology known as radio frequency identification chips, RFIDs, injected under their skin because these microchips of silicone allow them to pay for purchases at stores just by hovering their hand over the scanner at the checkout counter, entirely skipping the use of any kind of credit card, debit card, or cell phone app. It's happening, guys. And again, Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 tells us that both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, will have to receive this mark on their right hand or on their forehead. A lot of times you hear about the mark, oh, that's the mark of the beast. No, it has to be on the right hand or on the forehead. All these things that are happening are getting the people ready to receive the real mark. People are getting right. They're getting brainwashed. They're getting deceived, and they're getting prepped for the Antichrist to receive this mark when it happens. Just like COVID, how we went through all this COVID, and they're forcing people to get the vaccine. You have to get the vaccine, or you can't buy, sell, or live, because you lose your job. And it's gearing people up for the government to say, okay, now we need to know who's really, truly American, you know, who's for the U.S. And so we're going to have to, who's for the world, actually. And we're going to have to, you're going to have another mark now. And you're going to be forced, just like you were forced, many were forced to take the vaccine shot, to take the mark of this that was talking about in Revelations. The number of the man, his number is 666. But during this time, those left behind and those who get saved after the rapture, you know, they're going to have great difficulty trying to survive. Now, I think it's going to be worse than just having your head cut off, you know, because that's too simple. It's easy. Just go in. I don't want the mark. I want to go be with the Lord. Go ahead, cut my head off. Boom. I think it's going to be worse. I think what's going to happen is they're going to torture you first. And not just torture you, but your loved ones. You know what's going to be hard? When you stand there and you're one of your nephews or nieces, or a young adult or a little child in that time, and they torture them to get you to take their mark. Are you going to be able to? It's easy to say, I'll die, but what about watching them die? It's going to happen, guys. It's not going to be a piece of cake. But we don't have to be here. It's going to be a very difficult time to survive. But some will make it through the 7 years, and others, they're going to be killed for their faith. And that's why now's the time of salvation. Now's the time to call upon Jesus and be saved. Now look what he says in verse 16. He says, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Do we see this happening now? Yes, we do. We see it happening. You go to the Middle East, the Muslim countries, the Muslim states. If you receive Christ or any other religion outside of Islam or the Muslim religion, you're put to death. You're ousted. You're beaten. They do a lot to you. Is it happening now? Yes. Is it happening here? Yes. Not like it is in these third world countries, but it's happening. And this is going to be a very difficult time for many believers because they will be betrayed. This is the hard part. They're going to be betrayed by their own families and relatives, their friends, their neighbors, by those who they work with, those who they've known for a long time, who maybe they trusted in at one time or another. And some will even be put to death because of the betrayal. But look at what Jesus was pointing out when this is going to take place. Jesus, he was speaking about the end times. He's talking about before his second coming. So the betrayed by loved ones, people you know, it's just get worse and it's going to intensify as we get closer to the end times of Jesus' second return. You see it happening? It's happening. See how everything is getting worse and it's intensifying? And the reason for being betrayed, now I was thinking about, okay, I'm not going to be here, but if I was here and I was seeking the Lord and serving and still doing the Lord's work, which is going to be very difficult, what would be the reasons why I would be betrayed? Well, one would be because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Families and friends, they're going to hate me because of Christ and who I stand with, who I believe in. Do we see this happening now? Yes, we do. And you want to know why it's happening now? Because of the morals and the standards that we believe in, and it comes from the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, many will be betrayed because of this, because of our morals, our godly morals, our godly standards, our willingness to do what's right. We will be betrayed and we will be persecuted. Many will. You know, when we were that very first group that was playing in the North Park Theater, who were going to have a satanic baptisms after their show, when they were out there and they were on the speaker preaching the gospel, those people in line as they were going in were giving the bird. They were giving the finger. I was watching it. They're doing this and they're doing what is that? The devil thing. They're doing that. That's the only time I'll do that. So I'm just showing you what they were doing. I won't show you the other finger they were giving. But they were hating us because they hated us because of who we represented. Look at verse 16. He says, you're going to be betrayed by your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And it's because of the Antichrist, those who will betray others, they'll probably do it to save their own lives. They'll probably do it to secure favor with the Antichrist, to secure favor with the authorities. Maybe they'll do it because they're embarrassed that they'll turn people in. Or maybe out of vengeance. Hey, it's my time to get back to you now. You know, there'll be a lot of people that will be turned in just to turn them in. Even they might not even have the Lord or they're not even with the Lord just to turn them in because they hate them. They want to see them dead. They'll turn people in just to keep from being persecuted themselves, to gain honor, to gain position. I mean, we can go on and on. But guys, it will happen. And when it does, it will be a time of great mourning and a time of great headache. I mean, body ache too, you know. But look at verse 18. Good news. Jesus says, but not one hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possesses your soul. So verse 18 tells us, because not one hair on our head will be lost. It shows us what? That the promise that God has given us, that is, and that is that he's in control of the believer's life. God's in control. Jesus is going to be totally in control. And when Jesus says, not one hair on your head shall perish, what does Jesus mean by this? He says, hey, you know what? You're going to have spiritual security, eternal life. No matter what happens to them, what happens to you, you got eternal life. Peter said that in 1 Peter 1:9. He says, the receiving at the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Do you believe that? The end of my salvation, or the end of my life, is the salvation of my soul. To die is to gain. To live for Christ, to die is to gain. Remember in verse 16, look at verse 16 real fast. Because Jesus said this. He says, you will be betrayed even by your parents and your brothers, relatives and friends. Now look at the bottom. He says, and they will put some of you to death. Do we see this happening in other countries? Do we see it happening now? Do you see it intensifying now? But in the tribulation period, you know who the new terrorist is going to be? It's not going to be Hamas. It won't be those many hate groups. It's going to be God's people. It's going to be the Christians, those who will not take the mark of the beast, or who will worship the Antichrist. They're going to be the new terrorists in the tribulation period. So in verse 16, Jesus said, hey, you're going to be betrayed, and some of you are going to be put to death. And then back in verse 18, he says, but not one hair on your head shall be lost. So what does Jesus mean? He says, when you're going to die, at least you will have nice looking hair. You're going to have nice hair. I mean, I used to have nice hair. I always say that I had a lot of wave. Now I got more beach. But that's not what he's saying. What is he saying? He's saying that God knows every hair on the believer's head. He said that in Luke chapter 12. He says, he knows the number of your hairs on your head. Never fear, for you are far more valuable to him than the whole flock of sparrows. So we can't forget, guys, in time of persecution, or when this happens in the tribulation period, he says, don't forget, God's still on the throne. I'm always saying this, right? God's still on the throne. The gospel's still being preached, and people are still getting saved. Just prove that out here with these two 11th graders, the AAA guy, and how many of you have led to the Lord? Over at the theater in Chula Vista, over 400 people got saved through the Franklin Graham Crusade. God's still on the throne, regardless of what's going on right now. Why? Because God's omnipresent, God's omnipotent, and God's omniscient. He sees and he's in control, and he holds us in the palm of his hand. You guys feel that? You guys believe that? Right? So whatever you're facing or whatever you're going through, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, listen to what Paul said. He said, these troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small, and they won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. So we don't look at what we can't see right now, the troubles all around us. But we look forward to the joy in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Isn't that encouraging? The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Because why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You guys believe that?
Yeah.
Woo, it's exciting. So as we look today and we see these events and all these wars, rumors of wars, remember how I talked to Sherrod about all the civil war that's going on that we don't hear about it, the pestilence and those people who are starving and earthquakes, all this that is happening, it's intensifying, it's happening more, but Jesus said it's only birth pains. That's only birth pains. The worst is yet to come. But we don't have to be there. We're not going to be there when, like I said, when pure evil comes, because we'll be with the Lord. Amen? Let's